your copy of the Bible. We'll read again our text in verses 14 through 21. It's been a great Monday, hasn't it? And it snowed today. Did y'all notice that? And I'm of the opinion that if it's going to be cold, it ought to snow. That's what I believe. And of course, I'm a Floridian and I'm leaving. And you all get to continue put up with it. But what a blessing. We've had a great day today. Hope you have as well. Thank you, teenagers, and I guess mothers of teenagers, for feeding us tonight. We had a good time with the teenagers and eating together with all of you families. What a blessing you've been to us already. And so glad you're here tonight. What a great Monday night crowd. Wow. And thank you for joining us. You that are guests, I would know that because I'm a guest myself, but we're just delighted all of you are here. If you're part of the church, we're glad you're here, but we expected you. But if you are visiting tonight, we're just really happy and delighted and honored and thankful for that. Thank you, thank you. And enjoying getting to know your pastor and his family. And we're having a great week. So God bless you. Thank you so much for treating us so kindly. I didn't grab any books tonight, but I think, did you put any on the screen for me, did you? And throw some of those books up there, and let's talk about those. There's a few more out there at the table. Randy Alcorn has written two books that have really transformed my life or impacted my life. One is on purity, and one is on heaven. And I have enjoyed his books. This is one of his newer ones on happiness. And I'm of the opinion this is the definitive work on happiness. He covers joy and rejoicing all over the Bible and how ties it all together. It's a phenomenal book. That's on the table. So Happiness by Randy Alcorn. And then let's see here. We have Dads and Sons by Dr. James Dobson. You know, I do a lot about the family. And I especially have a burden about our young men raised in our generation. And I can tell your church does as well. And I'm so happy to always see young men sitting up front, taking notes, paying attention. Dr. Dobson in that book just covers all kinds of things about dads and sons. And dads, it will be a real blessing to you to read that book and even just remind you of things you can do with your boys and ways to talk to your boys and emphasize things with your boys. That's a great book. And I think I have one more there, didn't I? Did I put one more on there? There we go. The DNA of Parent-Teen Relationships is excellent. That is a book that just helps us to raise teens. How do you stay connected to a teenager? How do you have conversations with a teenager? How do you solve problems where a teenager is struggling? That's just a dynamite book. And Bethany and I are always looking for books that help us about our family, and that one did. So I recommend that one to you a lot. So you'll find it on the table. If we can help you afterwards, let us do so. All right? Are you ready for God's Word? I'm in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Let's begin reading again. You follow along in your copy, and I'll read out loud here on the platform. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Say it with me. Amen. Isn't that a great text? I love this passage. I hope you've prayed it for somebody. I hope you've taken the time maybe to pray it for yourself. It's a dynamite prayer, and I want to use it tonight. If you've been with us throughout the whole meeting, we started at 9:30 yesterday morning, and we talked about the strength we need. How many of y'all were here with that? Y'all remember that? The strength we need. Sunday morning, we talked about the growth we need. Last night, we talked about the fullness we need. And I draw your attention one more time to this passage here. Tonight, let's talk about the praying we need, all right? The praying we need. Did you notice he's talking about prayer here? He gives us a little glimpse in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That little phrase, bow my knees, that's a prayer phrase. Verse 20 is it's just a dynamite verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How many of y'all agree that he's talking to us some here about prayer? Now if you were here last night, I said we ought to be full of the Spirit, and we ought to be full of Christ, and we ought to be full of love, and we ought to be filled with all the fullness of God. And I want to say to you tonight, we ought to be full of prayer. Do you all agree with that? God's people ought to be praying people. How many of y'all believe in prayer? Let's just start there. Do y'all believe in prayer? Prayer is pretty amazing, isn't it? What's your favorite answer to prayer? Do you have one? Do you know a story? Have you got more than one? I love to hear about prayer. We had a prayer meeting at a church in Florida some years ago and did it a little differently than maybe I'd ever done before, but I just felt like it was what the Lord was wanting us to do. I was in a prayer conference. I was teaching on prayer. In the Tuesday night service, I finished the message, and then I called the church to have a public prayer meeting, and I said, we'll pray for the next 10 or 15 minutes, and we'll call it a night, all right? Not long, just 10 or 15 minutes. So I said to the crowd, I said, now look, let's have a Spirit-led prayer meeting. This is a talk with Jesus. He's real. He's God. We're just going to talk to Jesus, but we want the Spirit of God to lead us. So I said, don't just say words. Only pray what the Spirit of God is leading us to pray. So be aware of the Spirit. If he's leading you to pray something, you don't even have to, you know, be all formal about it. Just pray. Just you know, say, Lord, I feel like you want me to pray about this, and tell him, and then sit down. And I say, well, just take 10 or 15 minutes. And, you know, that's a little awkward way to pray. So I said, all right. I sat on the platform. And I said, now, Lord, lead us. We're asking you, Holy Spirit, to lead. I just prayed like that. And I said, tell us what to pray for, because we want to have a prayer meeting with you. So we sat there a few moments in silence. And all of a sudden, this lady stands up. And she said, well, now, Lord, I feel like you're telling me that there's some things in my life that's not right. And I'm really ashamed of this. And I want you to cleanse me and forgive me. She sat down. It was a great prayer meeting, wasn't it, sweetheart? Somebody else stood and prayed the same way. Next thing you know, folks all over the building praying about making things right with God. It was a beautiful prayer meeting. And there was a moment of silence. I thought, maybe we're done. And all of a sudden, I can't remember if it was a guy or a lady, but somebody in the auditorium stood up. They said, now, Lord, I feel like you're leading us to pray. And they named a man. They gave a name. Lord, he has cancer, and they said he's not going to make it, but I want to ask you to heal him. That's what I'm praying for. And sat down. And the next thing you know, church, we were in the presence of Jesus. All over that room, people felt led of the Spirit of God to stand to their feet and pray for brother so-and-so to be healed of his cancer. And you know what God did? God healed him. It was glorious. God healed him. There was no doubt. God healed him. I'm telling you, don't you love glorious answers to prayer? When I was a Bible college student, I paid my way through Bible college. My dad, he helped me as much as we could, which basically meant that he'd give me a job to do and give me the money for doing the job. And but I was in college working hard. I worked three jobs one summer to pay a semester. Got to the end of that semester, and even with all the work I'd done, I still owed $1,000, and I didn't have it, and I was out of time, and I didn't know what to do about it. And I remember going to God about it. You ever prayed for something that was a big thing? And this, it might as well have been $1,000,000. I needed $1,000, and I didn't have it. And I'm down here in Bible college trying to serve the Lord and honor God. You ever talk to God like that? I went out talking to God. I went out for a walk on the soccer field and talked to God. And I was like, okay, now, Lord, you know I'm down here serving you. I could have gone somewhere else. In fact, I reminded the Lord I had a scholarship at a different college, but I felt called to ministry. And I came down here to Bible college to study for the ministry. And I just talked to the Lord about it. And I said, now, Lord, you don't have to do a miracle for me. But if you were to do a miracle, what I need is $1,000 to pay this bill. And as I just talked, you ever talk to the Lord just that? He's real. Y'all believe that? So me and the Lord just had a talk about $1,000. And I prayed about it for 3 or 4 days. And then I went to my mailbox. And one of the most amazing things in the world happened. I went to my mailbox after asking God about this $1,000. I was willing to drop out and get a job, you know, until I got the money or I borrowed. I didn't know what. Lord, you got to help me here. And I prayed about $1,000, and I went to my mailbox and got a letter from my daddy's boss. My dad was running a farm for a government official in Washington, D.C. that owned property in Tennessee. And my dad worked for him, and my dad's boss wrote me a letter. And I got this letter from my dad's boss, and he said, now look, Dave, my wife and I have been talking about you, and we just believe that you are too smart to waste your life in a Bible college studying for ministry. This is how the letter started. We just believe you're too smart for that. And they said, we know you want to do good works, and we understand that, but there's all kinds of good things you could do without wasting your life in a Bible college. And here's what he said. He said, I'm on the board of 3 universities, and he named them. And he said, I'll make you a deal. If you'll leave this Bible college and you'll go to one of these universities, I'll pay everything. I'll pay your room, your board, your tuition. I'll give you expense money. Now, you think about that. Here I am trying to please God and walk with God. And I said, now, Lord, if I'm going to stay here, I need $1,000. I prayed about that. Might as well have been a million because, you know, $1,000 was just like a million to me. I didn't have it and didn't have any way to get it. But I asked God for $1,000 so I could stay in Bible college and serve the Lord. My dad's boss, who wasn't a Christian, wrote me a letter and said, if you'll drop out of Bible college and go somewhere else, I'll pay everything. And then he put at the bottom of it, P.S. Just so you know how serious I am, I'm enclosing a check for $1,000. And that is the absolute truth. I'll never forget that. I didn't know whether to laugh, cry, or you know, run around the building. I didn't know what to do. And I was so amazed by that. Aren't you glad that you have a wonderful God? Somebody somewhere along the way told me about this pastor, and he bought him, or this lady in a church bought herself a pet. She was lonely. She was a widow lady. And she went down to a pet shop, and the pet owner talked her into getting this little bird. And he said, now, this bird talks. It's just got to get comfortable with you. And so she brought the bird home, and sure enough, after several months in her house, you know, and her talking to it and feeding it, the bird started talking, but it would only say two things, two words. All it would say was, let's kiss. That's all her bird would say is, let's kiss. It said it all the time, let's kiss. Somebody knock on the door, and her bird would go, let's kiss. And embarrassed her all the time, just embarrassed her up one side and down the other. And she didn't know what to do about it. And she was all worried about it, afraid, you know, people are going to think badly of her. Well, her pastor went and got him one, and he trained his bird himself. And he trained his bird to say, let's pray. Well, one Sunday morning, he got up and told that story about his bird. And all his bird says all the time is, let's pray, let's pray. And she got a brilliant idea. She thought, you know what I need to do is get my bird over to pastor's house. And if my bird were to hang out with his bird, maybe his bird would rub off on my bird and my bird wouldn't be as embarrassing. It'd be more spiritual. So she asked her pastor about it, and he said, sure, bring your bird over. And she brought the bird over, and she took it into his house, and she put it up there beside of his bird, and her bird spoke up first. Her bird said, let's kiss. Let's kiss. And pastor's bird said, praise God, my prayers have been answered. Now, that's really bad, isn't it? That's really bad. I don't think that happened, but I do believe in prayer, don't you? How many of y'all believe in prayer, don't you? And notice this. You know what God's doing in this passage? He's reminding us about prayer. Paul is the one praying, but aren't you glad in Paul's prayer, he reminds us in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Isn't that shouting ground? You ought to underline that. You ought to memorize that. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything you ask and anything you could even think. How many of y'all agree that's a pretty amazing God, wouldn't you say? It's a pretty amazing God. So all of us ought to be full of prayer. Now here's the question tonight. How can we be full of prayer? And I got four answers for you, all right? Number one, he tells us in verse 14, here's how we can be full of prayer. Verse 14 says, here's what you do, you bow the knee. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that, verse 14, bow the knee. Here's the first lesson, bow the knee. Now, how many of y'all know this? You can pray anywhere. How many of y'all know that? Can you pray while you're doing dishes? Sure. Can you pray while you're taking a test? Come on, young people, can you? Absolutely. Lord, help me remember what I didn't study. And you can pray that way when you're taking a test, can't you? You can pray while you're driving. You drive around here, you should. You can pray when you go to Walmart, the way prices are going, you should. But did you notice this is a different level of praying? Did y'all notice that? He says, I bow the knee. For this cause, I bow my knees. That's a different level of praying. You can pray anywhere. The Bible says things like this, pray without ceasing. That's a level of praying. Maybe that's just a reminder that you can pray anywhere, anytime about anything. But there's a level of praying here where Paul says, I bow the knee. I bow the knee. Maybe what he's trying to say here is that it's just a reminder for us that prayer has practical elements to it. Now, I want you to chew that. Look here on the screen. Prayer has practical elements, a place, a time, a posture, a list. He says, I bow the knees. Now, you know that, don't you? You know what that means. It's this. How many of y'all agree that when you get on your knees, that's a different level of praying than when you're driving down the road talking to God? That's a different level, isn't it? This is a place kind of prayer, a timing kind of prayer, a posture kind of prayer, maybe a list kind of prayer. Meditate on that. You know Jesus told us that there's a type of praying that requires a place. Are you aware of that? Jesus said, how did he say that? He said, when you pray, enter into your, do you know the word? Your closet. And your Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. There's a level of praying that you do in a place. Daniel did that. If you study the book of Daniel, there are two times in Daniel's writings, in those 12 chapters, that Daniel mentions his house. And both times that Daniel's house is mentioned, there's a prayer meeting there. The first one is when the king said, I'm going to kill all the astrologers, the soothsayers, all the magicians, all the wise men. I'm killing them all. And I'm going to kill them. If you can't tell me what I dreamed, I'm going to kill all of you. They said, well, tell us what you dreamed and we'll tell you what it means. He said, no, if you're the real deal, I want you to tell me what the dream itself was. And they said, there's not a man in the world that can do that. And I will tell you something, they weren't wrong. You can't do that. There's no way that anybody's going to know what the king dreamed last night. But Daniel called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over to his house, and he said, the king's going to kill us if we can't tell him what he dreamed last night. And what they did, they went to prayer about it. They said, now, Lord, the king is going to kill us, and he had a dream last night, and he wants to know what it is, but he doesn't want to know what the dream meant. He wants to know what he dreamed, and you got to help us. And you know what? God answered them in Daniel's house, gave them the answer to their dream. Can't you imagine? Nebuchadnezzar must have been pretty shocked, don't you think? When the next morning Daniel came in and said, hey, I know what you dreamed, and here's what you dreamed, and told him verbatim what he dreamed. Don't you know that no wonder Nebuchadnezzar said, there is a God in heaven. There's got to be a God out there. There's got to be, because Daniel prayed and got an answer. It was a place. Later in chapter 6 of the book of Daniel, the Bible says that the king said he was going to throw Daniel in the lion's den. Y'all remember that story? And here's why he did it. Because when the king signed a law and said, if you pray, I'll put you in the lion's den, the Bible says Daniel went to his house, opened his windows, got on his knees, and prayed three times a day and gave thanks to God as he had done aforetime. Now watch what that teaches us. Daniel was the kind of man that, number one, had a place where he regularly prayed. Now chew on that a moment. Daniel's prayer life wasn't just, well, I'm walking to work, I'm praying, I'm exercising, and I'm praying, I'm driving my tractor, and I'm praying, I'm running into Walmart, and I'm just praying, I'm doing dishes, and I'm praying. There was a level of praying where Daniel stopped everything, got on his knees in the presence of God, and saw miracles happen because of it. That's a different level of praying. I mean, y'all can see that tonight, can you? So it involves a place. It involves a time. The psalmist said he prayed three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. Now, there's no command about that. We are not commanded to pray three times a day. We're just commanded to pray. But here's a lesson for me and you. Prayer has practical elements, this level of praying. Have a place, have a time. Did you catch the idea of posture? Posture's part of it. He got on his knees for prayer. There's a certain kind of praying that involves a posture. You'll find that all over the Bible. There are sometimes in the Bible when a man prays, he falls on his face. You ever see somebody pray like that? Just get flat on their face. My friend, Dr. David Tice in Las Vegas, Nevada, I've been out there to preach for him. And when I preach for David Tice, he'll always get on his face to pray. Now, the first time he ever did it, he confused me. Because he took me back in his office, got back in his office. He said, now before we go out and we have this service, let's pray together. He said, you ready to pray? And I said, all right, let's pray. We were standing. He said, let's pray. So I bowed my head and closed my eyes, and I heard all this commotion, and he started praying. I kind of peeked, and he was on his face, and I didn't know what to do. Do I join him? You know, I'm supposed to lay down there beside him. I didn't know exactly what to do, because he didn't tell me why. He just got on his face. I have one pastor friend, and God love him. Every time he wants to pray with me, he wants to hold my hand. And he always gets his, come on, he said, we're going to pray with the deacons. They go back in this little room off this platform before the service, and he's, all right, now, brothers, we've got to pray about this service. He's, all right, let's pray. And he puts his hands like that, and the first time they caught me off guard, and I had to hold hands with all these guys and pray. I had a hard time praying. Because I was like, you know what, I feel weird holding this pastor's hand. I mean, he's a good man, but I just don't like holding his hand. Are y'all following me on that? The next night, I was ready. Went back there the next night, and he said, all right, let's pray. And I was like, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just come right into your presence. I didn't give him time. I jumped right on. But see, there's different levels. You know that, don't you? You can kneel. You can get on your face. The Bible even says, if you're a man, I love this. The Bible says for every man in this room, the Bible says, I will that men, that's the Greek word for males, I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. That's a posture in prayer if you're a man. Now, I suppose you ladies can do it. The Bible doesn't say you can't. But the Bible says males ought to pray everywhere, lifting up holy heads. You know what? That's a good way to pray. Number one, y'all say, Lord, am I right with you? Are these hands holy? Am I right with you? All right. Lord, I'm coming into your presence. You ought to pray like that. For a while, we did that at our table. When we'd pray for a meal, we always stood before a meal. And when our kids were younger, sometimes we'd sing. We'd sing something, like maybe the chorus we sang tonight from the Bible. We would sing a chorus around the table or something like that. And then I'd say, all right, let's pray. And our kids would all put their hands in the air because Daddy preached on this. And they thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Even Charity, who's not a male, thought it was so cool she'd put her hands in the air. The Bible says you men can pray that way. How many of y'all men ever prayed that way? It's a good thing. You ought to try it. Oh, come on. Somebody say, oh, come on, Brother Young. That's just cultural. Well, maybe it is. But culture's not wrong, is it? There's a lot of cultural things in the Bible. How many of y'all agree with that? The Bible says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Is that cultural? You better hope so. Because I'm telling you, I've been in your church 2 days and not one brother in this church has greeted me with a holy kiss. And I just want to go out on a limb and say, praise the Lord. See, it's cultural, isn't it? I was in a revival in Alabama some years ago. And it's one of those churches where halfway through the service, the pastor will say, all right, now, before Brother Young comes to preach, let's all turn around, fellowship, and shake hands and greet one another. And boy, that church went at it. I mean, they're shaking hands and telling stories and hugging necks. And I'm ready to preach. 10 minutes up here is a big difference, 10 minutes at the end. It's getting kind of late. And I was kind of, come on. I'm over here where my wife is and sitting up front. And this older man came down the aisle. I thought he was coming in for a hug. But he wasn't. That dear older brother grabbed hold of me, and I'm right there in front of God. And everybody smooched me big time. I mean, just gave me a holy kiss, caught me off guard. It was like, that man just kissed me. And I was dumbfounded. It caught me off guard big time. After he kissed me, he reached in my coat like this, opened my coat, and he stuck something in my pocket. But I was startled that he kissed me. I didn't remember putting something in my pocket. And I got back to the RV. We had our fifth wheel on the property of the church. Got back to the RV that night, and I remembered that man put something in my pocket. So I ran up to my closet there in the RV, got out my coat, reached in there. That man put $1,000 in my coat, and that's the absolute truth. Next night, I was looking for him. Where is he? Praise God. Brother, bring it on. I'm all in. So that's my new standard. If you want to give me a kiss, we're okay with that, all right? But see, follow this. That's a posture. Think about how seldom in our culture we pray that way. So we say, well, I believe in prayer, and we pray fast, and I'm for prayer, pray. But notice what he's talking about in this text. He said, I bow my knees. That's a whole new level of praying, isn't it? I wonder sometimes if we shouldn't do more of that. If we shouldn't kneel more than we do. I don't know there's anything mystical about it. But there definitely is something that puts you in the presence of God when you get on your knees. Notice Paul even had a list here. He went through the list, Lord. Strengthen them. Help them to grow spiritually. Help them to be full of love. Oh, Lord, help them to be filled with all your fullness. Maybe the lessons we could take from that first statement, bow the knee, is, Lord, help us to designate a place where we're going to try to regularly meet with you. My Papa Young was a moonshiner. He was a drunk. He was mean as the devil, brutal, angry man, harsh. He got saved when he was in his late 40s, early 50s in a revival meeting. He got saved. The man never read the Bible in his life because he never learned to read. He couldn't even write his own name because he didn't know the alphabet. The man never went to school a day in his life. He was just this mountain drunk moonshiner. He milked cows by hand. They didn't have electricity. But he got saved. Never read the Bible. But I'll tell you what he did. Every morning, the boys would get out of bed, and they had to milk by hand so many cows. When milking was done in the morning, after Papa Young got saved, my dad told me when the milking was over, my dad would say, now, boys, run home, get dressed for school, get breakfast. He'd say, tell your mom I'll be there in a few minutes. My dad said, we boys would run home, get dressed, get breakfast, run to catch the school bus. And Papa would come in a little bit later. When milking was done in the evening, he'd say, boys, Run up there to the house and get supper. Tell your mom I'll be there in a few minutes. And my dad said, well, I got to, what is he doing in there? We've already milked. We've already cleaned it up. We've already fed the cows and put the milk stuff away. What's he doing in there? And my dad said, I went back down and looked in. And my dad said, your papaw had built an altar in the corner of a dairy barn. And every morning when milking was done, you'd find that old man on his knees in the corner of a barn. Every night when milking was done, you'd find him in the dairy barn on his knees. See, that's the idea of a place. How many of y'all have family concerns in your life tonight? You got any sons or daughters that burden your heart? Have you knelt about it? You got any great needs in your life? Have you knelt about it? Have you gotten on your knees about it in the presence of God? Have you started a prayer life where you're gonna regularly meet with God like my converted moonshining grandpa? I'm gonna meet with God. I'm gonna set aside a place. I'm gonna designate a time that works for me. I'm gonna get on my knees or get on my face or lift holy hands. I'm gonna make a list. I don't know the lists are inspired, but apparently Paul had one. I'm going to pray you'll be full of spiritual strength and full of spiritual growth and full of love and filled with all the fullness of God. That's what I'm praying for you. Apparently had a list. Make a list. How many of y'all are married? How many of y'all are married? Raise your hand if you're married. You ought to pray every day for each other. For crying out loud, you're married to each other. Both of you need prayer. You ought to pray about it. How many of y'all have kids? You ought to call their name out every day to God in prayer. How many of y'all know that God loves your kids more than you do? Isn't that wonderful? He does. Pray about it. He said, I bow the knee. I bow the knee. I bow the knee. Do y'all see that simple little statement? How in the world can we be full of prayer? Start here. Bow the knee. Number two. Not only should we bow the knee, but watch this one. We not only bow the knee, number two, we've got to know that he is able. Here's four ways to be full of prayer. Verse 14 reminds us, bow the knee. Verse 20 reminds us, know that God is able. Now recognize and celebrate this truth. How many of y'all believe in God? Do y'all believe in God? Is that fair to say on a Monday night? If you're in church, you probably believe in God. Is that obvious? God is real. God is real. According to the Bible, God made the sun, the moon, the stars. He made the heaven and the earth. He made everything that is. Our God is the creator God. He can do anything. He's almighty. That's God. And here's how Paul wrote it in verse 20. I love this. Now unto him that is able, the one who is able. That's who we talk to. We're not just saying words. We're not just playing a little spiritual game here. If God is real and God made the world, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there's nothing in your life too big for God. He's able. Well, you got a family burden in your heart. How many couples do my wife and I meet? They say, Brother Young, pray for our son, pray for our daughter. Oh, pray for them. My daughter's far from God, or my son's far from God. I got a Facebook message not long ago. I posted a thing on my Facebook wall, and I posted a line from the song Sweet Hour of Prayer. And I posted that line, and then I wrote under it, anything you want me to pray about, send me a message, and I'll pray about it today. And I got a message from a mother, and her kids are grown. And she said, Brother Young, I don't know if you know, remember us or not. We met you, and she told me where they met us. And she said, you said you'd pray. Would you pray for our son and our daughter? In fact, she said, would you pray for our daughter especially? She hasn't spoken to us in 12 years. And Brother Young, we almost went through a divorce, and my husband wasn't right. He was angry. He was verbally abusive, And it really hurt my daughter. But my husband got help and made things right, and our marriage is restored, but she's never forgiven him. Would you pray for our daughter? Would you pray? She said she lives in California and gave me the city. Would you pray for our daughter? So I said, all right, I'll pray with you today. And I did, took a few moments that day. I don't know that girl. Wouldn't recognize her if she walked in this building tonight. She's a grown woman. I said, Lord, I know you love her, and her parents are concerned about her, and her parents want to be right. I prayed about that. I took that to God. And in fact, I reminded of it later and did it again. Several times I prayed for her. Got a message the other day. And the mother said, "Hey, Brother Young, thank you for praying for our daughter." Said, "My husband just went on a trip to California, and he sent my daughter a text and said, is there any chance that you would let me buy you coffee?" And she said, "You know, my daughter said, I guess that'd be all right." And she said, our daughter met with my husband for an hour and a half and talked about all kinds of issues. And she said, "Brother Young, we feel like God is opening the door to restore our daughter back to him and back to our family." See, brothers and sisters, God is able. God is able. If you've got a heavy heart about your kids, can I tell you something? God does love them more than you do. God is a good God. He is able. There's no doubt about it. God is able. He's real. Have you read Matthew chapter 8 lately? Don't turn there. But you ought to go home tonight and read Matthew chapter 8 because it's a story about miracles. Early in the chapter, this leper comes running to Jesus and he says, "Master, Lord, if thou wilt." He said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." I just love how he said it. We'd say it like this. We'd say, "Now, Lord, if you will, you could make me clean." And Jesus didn't even bat an eye, it seems like. The man said, "Jesus, I'm a leper. If you wanted to, you could make me clean." And Jesus said, "Well, I will be clean." And the Bible says he was cleansed immediately. We hasten right out of that story into a centurion that came to, a Roman centurion came to meet Jesus. And he said, "Hey, Jesus," he said, "I heard you can heal people. My servant is home and my servant is very sick. And would you come and heal my servant?" And Jesus said, "Well, I tell you what, I'll go with you and I'll go to your house and I'll heal your servant." Now he said, "Jesus, listen, you don't have to do that for me. I know if you wanted to, you could just say the word and my servant would be healed." And Jesus said, "My goodness, I haven't seen this kind of faith anywhere yet." He said, "You're going to go on home because your servant is healed." And the centurion went home. And sure enough, the very hour Jesus was speaking, that servant was healed. He's going through that whole story. And all these sick people come to Jesus and he heals them. It's just one miracle after another. Later they get in a ship. Y'all know that story where they get in a boat and the wind and the waves and the water's washing over the boat. And the disciples are terrified. "Oh my goodness, we're going to die." They're terrified. And Jesus is asleep in the boat. I just love that. They're all terrified. Jesus is taking a nap. And they ran over and they awake. They said, "Jesus, for crying out loud, don't you care? We're about to perish." And Jesus stood up and he said to them, "For crying out loud, guys," I'm paraphrasing. He said, "For crying out loud, guys, don't you have any faith at all? I mean, didn't you just see me heal a leper and heal that centurion's, you know, servant and all those sick people got healed? Don't you have any faith at all?" And I don't know how exactly he did it, but the Bible says he calmed. He turned around and calmed them down. The winds and the waves. I would like to think he turned around and he's like this. I think Jesus was probably like, hey, to the wind, hey, to the waves, hey, you're scaring my disciples, simmer down. And they just laid down. I'm just telling you, God is able. Can you go that far with me tonight? God is able. You know why the devil wants you too busy to ever pray? Because God is able. You know why the devil wants us so distracted? And you know, the news is on. And that's nothing wrong with watching the news. I mean, I don't recommend it because there's no reason to go to bed unhappy. But nonetheless, it's not wrong to watch the news. It's not wrong to laugh at an Instagram reel or a YouTube video necessarily. There's all kinds of humor in our culture, isn't there? Teenagers, there's never an end to the humor your generation can enjoy. I read the other day, it would take 14 million years to watch all the videos that are now on YouTube. 14 million years to watch them all. It just never ends. But you notice how distracted we are? We're busy. We come home, turn the TV on. We go to bed tired and get up tired. We have no time to pray. Why is the enemy got us so stinking busy about prayer? I'm going to tell you why. Because God is able. And he doesn't want you praying because God is able to answer your prayers. You got to believe this. Bow the knee. Y'all with me on that one? How in the world can I be full of prayer? Know that he's able. I got to hurry. Look at number three. Here's how you can be full of prayer. Just very simply, ask. Ask in faith. Isn't that what he says here? "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask." Well, how can I be full of prayer? Well, I've got to ask. You got to pray in faith. Y'all know that term, pray in faith? How many of y'all believe in that idea of praying in faith? You know about that? Praying in faith. You ever read in your Bible? Have you ever read in the Bible where Jesus said, "If you have faith as a mountain, you can move mustard seeds"? Anybody read that in your Bible? Anybody read that? I hope not, because it's not there. What did Jesus say? If you have faith as a, how big is that? That's not big at all. If I had a mustard seed in my hand, most of you couldn't even see it. It's not much. So why would Jesus say, you got faith as a mustard seed, you can move mountains? Because faith is not about me, it's about God. Faith is not what I'm doing, it's about what God can do. All I got to do is ask. Think about this praying in faith. I put it on your screen. Think about this tonight. Watch this slide right here, all right? Now check this out. Praying in faith is three things. It's confidence that God is almighty. It's trust that God is good. It's an awareness that prayer works. Now chew on that. Is God almighty, yes or no, church? Sure. So have confidence in that. Have confidence. Pray in confidence. I had a guy say to me one time in Arizona, he said, you know, I want to get saved, and I'd like to get saved, and I ought to get saved, but I don't know if God would save me or not. That's what he said. I don't know if God saved me or not. He had some warped theology because of some influence of his father who also had some warped theology. And I don't know if God saved me or not. But I'll tell you something. When he came to Christ by faith, God took away his sins and gave him everlasting life. I remember the night he came forward to get saved. He had told me he didn't know if God would save him or not. And I preached one night, and he was in the service, and I gave an invitation. And he came down the aisle, and there was a greeter that met him at the front. And he said to the greeter, I want to get saved, but I want to talk to Dave Young. And I was on the platform, and the man turned around and looked at me, and I said, well, you come up here, and I'll go down there. And then that young man went backstage. You know what he did? He prayed in faith. Well, he knew he was a sinner. Do you know that? He knew he couldn't save himself. He knew that. He was obviously aware of that. He had even heard the gospel that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and he was raised from the dead. You know this, don't you? Baptism can't wash away your sins, but Jesus can because he died for your sins. Did y'all know that? You don't go to heaven because you get baptized. You go to heaven because Jesus washes away your sins, and that happens when you come to him by faith. Jesus, God is almighty. He can save anybody. He even says in his word, he can save to the uttermost them that come to God through him. So salvation's in faith because God is almighty. Every prayer you pray, you can pray in confidence. You got a sickness, you go to the doctor, and you find out you got cancer. You know what you do? Well, you pray about it. You know, you don't have to be weird about it, but pray about it. No, you know, obviously it's serious, and obviously it'll worry your heart. We're humans, we're going to worry about it, but don't bypass prayer, because praying in faith is a confidence that God is almighty. So you have every right to go to God and say, God, the doctor just told me that I have this problem, and I need help, oh Lord, I want to be healed. And you just talk to God up one side and down the other about it. Say, Lord, I don't care if you heal me miraculously. We always like that, don't we? If you want to heal me miraculously, I'm all in. But if you want to heal me by medicine, I'm all in. If you want to heal me by taking me to heaven, I can probably handle that too. I mean, I'd rather be in heaven, wouldn't you, than live in a sin-cursed world. So I can trust God about it. That's where that second line comes in. Trust that God is good. How many of y'all believe God is not just almighty, but he's good? So you can, that's praying in faith. I can go to God and say, now, Lord, think about that when it comes to sickness. Lord, I know you could heal my cancer. I know you can. You can heal this disease. Lord, I know you can. And so I'm just going to pray in faith that you will. I'm praying in faith that you will. And Lord, I just want you to know that you're so good that I'm just going to trust you as I pray it. If your plan is that this is the sickness that's going to take me to heaven, then I'm going to trust you with that. You see how this prayer in faith works? It's not some mystical thing, but it's just belief. It says, God, I know you can, so I'm going to pray about it. Somebody says, I don't know if he will or not. Well, then pray about that. Just go to God and say, God, I don't know if you will or not. I don't know. Remember when I needed $1,000? I'm serious. I went to God and said, God, you don't have to do a miracle for little old me. And I don't even know that you will. Why would you do a miracle for me? I'm just Dave Young, this kid guy in Bible college. You don't have to do a miracle for me, but I know you can. And if you do, I'll praise you. And if you don't, I'll get a job and pay it myself. See, I can trust God. You can trust God, and you can be aware that prayer does work. God uses prayer to accomplish his will on this earth. One of the strangest things I've read in the Bible. Have you ever read this? Jesus said, this is how you pray, okay? In Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You ever read that little line there and thought about it? Jesus said, pray like this, Lord, your will be done here just like it's done there. So all kinds of things you can learn right there. Obviously, apparently, God's will is always done in heaven. Can we agree with that? You get to heaven, there's no sickness there. Say amen to that. No sorrow there, no disease there, no dying there, no decay there, no problems there, no crying there. What a wonderful land that's going to be. Heaven is real because God is real. So we can rejoice in that. Your will is always done up there. How wonderful. They used to sing when I was a boy, how beautiful heaven must be, land of the free. I love that song, except that we sang everything slow in my country church. Take them 3 years to sing that song. And they sang, everything was so slow. How beautiful heaven must be. And I used to think, we're going to be there before they get done. That's what I'd think all the time. But the fact of the matter is, God's will is always done there. What a wonderful land that must be. God's will is always done there. God's will is always done there. But you know what else that little statement implies? Pray, thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Apparently, God's will is not always done on earth. What makes the difference in God's will being done on earth? Listen to me. If I understand that passage, apparently the difference in whether or not God's will is done on earth is based on our praying. That's you got to wrap your brain around that one. You got to let the Spirit of God help you with that one. Jesus said, when you talk to God, pray this, thy will be done on earth. How far you want to take that? Take it as far as you want to. I believe, if you disagree with this, I'll still be your friend. I'll just think you're wrong. But I believe with all my heart that when Jesus died, he died for the sins of the whole world. And I believe the Bible very clearly teaches that God will have all men to be saved. You know what? God's desire is that all my neighbors that I've been praying for, God wants them to be saved. My children, your children, God wants our kids to be saved. Your neighbors, my neighbor, God wants the world to be saved. Well, how in the world is that going to happen? Well, if God's will is going to be done on earth, what does he say? Pray it. Thy will be done on earth. Apparently, there's some spiritual warfare somehow there, something going on in the spiritual realm where the forces of hell are fighting the forces of good. Where there's something spiritual taking place in this realm of this earth where we live, and your prayer life makes a difference. That's why the devil doesn't want you praying. Some of you prayed for a family member that's not saved, and boy, when you first got saved, you were on fire for God, and you prayed up a storm that they would get saved. But your faith's gotten weak, and you've quit praying. You still talk about it. Man, I wish they'd get saved. Man, I wish she'd get saved. Man, I wish, and you talk about it, and your heart yearns for it, but you've stopped praying. Prayer is essential. It's part of God's will being done on earth. I don't understand that. I can't fully explain that to you, but that's got to be what the Bible is teaching when Jesus says pray that way. How important is our praying? No wonder it's under attack. No wonder we get too busy. No wonder the devil distracts us, because when we pray, it changes things. In fact, I think I put it on the screen. What's that next screen there? Look at this statement right here. Would you? When you're praying, God is working. I want you to believe that tonight, church. If you're talking to God, God is on the move. Somebody says, hold on, Brother Young. I have prayed for my daughter for 25 years, and she still isn't where I want her to be. Can I tell you something? If you're praying, God is at work. Believe that. You know how long it takes God to heal a heart? Remember the Garden of Gethsemane when they all came to arrest Jesus before the crucifixion? Remember that? They came to arrest Jesus. And what did Peter do to Malchus? You remember that guy Malchus? He doesn't show up much. One time, Peter took a sword and cut off Malchus' ear. Do y'all remember that? Wouldn't that have been a dramatic experience if you were Malchus? Next thing you know, there's your ear on the ground. Can you imagine? Be Malchus for a moment. I don't think Peter was aiming for the ear. Y'all aware of that, aren't you? But in the darkness, he cut off his ear. And what did Jesus do? I don't know how he did. I don't know if he picked it up and put it back on or if he just said the word. But the Bible does indicate that Jesus touched him and healed his ear. Can you imagine the stories Malchus told his grandkids? Y'all ain't gonna believe his kids, but Papaw one day went out to arrest this guy named Jesus, and one of his servants cut off my ear. And that man, Jesus, reached down, put it back on. See it? Right there it is. Can you imagine that story? That's real. It really happened. Let me ask you a question. How long did it take Jesus to heal that ear? Just a moment. How long did it take Jesus to heal Peter's heart? That's a whole other ballgame. See, God can do some things instantly and will. Boom, you're healed. But when it comes to our hearts, our families, those issues, God never forces it. He just keeps working. My grandpa Trenum, I met him when he was 70. Walked out of my mom's life when my mother was 3, and he never came back. She never knew her daddy. I never knew my grandpa. But I found him when he was 70, got to know him. He had money. He lived in California. He was legally blind, legally deaf, didn't have a driver's license, but had money, just hadn't wanted nothing to do with God. He was bitter. He was angry. Our family started praying for that man, that he would get saved. He didn't want to hear about it, didn't want anything to do with it, but we prayed. I cannot tell you how many times in our family devotions one of my children would say, tonight, let's pray for great-grandpa Trenum. Let's pray for great-grandpa Trenum. Let's pray for great-grandpa Trenum. I don't know how many times in our family devotions we prayed that. We prayed it all through his 70s and all through his 80s. He turned 90, 91, 92. I'm going to be honest with you. There came a point when I thought he's never going to get saved. He's 92. You have to yell at him to talk to him. And then he doesn't always understand you. Lord, I don't know if he's ever going to get saved. But you know what? When he was 92 years of age, a friend of mine went and picked him up and took him to have a meal with two of my kids. He lived in California. She picked him up and took him to West Coast Baptist College to have a meal with my kids. He got on that campus, and she took him into the auditorium of Lancaster Baptist Church. And my grandpa stood in the back of that auditorium on his cane, feeble, 92 years old. And he said to my friend Nicole, he said, Nicole, that saved thing everybody's been talking to me about, I can't sleep because every time I go to bed, I think about that. And if I go to sleep, I dream about it. That's what he said. He said, I think I need to get that settled. Do you think you can help me with that? 92 years of age, she led my grandpa to Jesus Christ. All those years of praying, God answered our prayer. God was working the whole time. I'm here to tell you tonight, prayer makes a difference. Prayer, we ought to be full of prayer. One last thing, throw it on the screen there for me, brothers. One last thing here, look at this. Remember that prayer makes a difference. What does he say in the text? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Watch this. Unto him be glory in the church. Chew on that just a moment and I'm done. Unto him be glory in the church. Chew on that just a moment. A visible demonstration that God is real. A visible demonstration in the church that God cares. A visible demonstration that we are the real deal. There's glory in the church when you and I are praying to a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So I've come to tell you tonight, some of you ought to start a prayer life. It's a Monday night revival meeting, and there was a time you had a prayer life and you don't have one. You need to renew a prayer life. Some of you have never had one, start one. You don't have to be weird about it. Set aside a few moments every day where you're going to try to meet with God and take a list to God to see God do great things in your life. Start a prayer life. Some of you ought to renew a prayer life. There was a time you had one, you've let it go. Some of you need to start praying again for some really big needs in your life. God is able. He cares about your children, your grandchildren. He cares about all the needs of your life. You ought to start praying big time about those things. In fact, here's our fourth decision of this prayer meeting, or of this revival. Our fourth decision, I will pray. I will pray. I will start a prayer life. I will keep on praying, and I will, by God's grace and God's help, I will pray big. God is able. You can pray as big as you are comfortable with praying, because there's nothing in the world that God cannot do. His arm is not short and that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Leave here tonight believing that your God is a great God, a good God, an almighty God, and he invites you to come to him with every need of your life and talk to him about it. What a mighty God we serve. Is there any chance at all, as we close this service, is there any chance at all there'd be somebody here tonight, and it's Monday night revival, but you don't know this God because you've never been saved through Jesus Christ? You know what? You are loved by God. It's true that you're a sinner. All of us are. It's true that if we die sinners, that we are facing the judgment of God. We'll be separated from God for all of eternity. We cannot be in the presence of God with our sins. We can't. Nobody ever has. But it's also true, and we're celebrating it next week. There was a day that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Why? So that we could come to him and have forgiveness and eternal life. And you know, the easiest way to do that is to come in prayer. To pray. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why, if tonight you were willing to say, God, I admit it, I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for my sins. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. I am trusting that Jesus Christ to be my God and Savior. He'll save you tonight. And we'd sure love to see you get saved. Don't move, but bow your head and close your eyes. Don't move, just bow your head and close your eyes. Don't move. My sweetheart is going to make her way to the piano. We're going to have a brief invitation. We're going to go home. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you would say, hey, Dave, God spoke to me tonight about starting a prayer life, and if he'll help me, I'm going to start one. I want to start a prayer life. If God will help me, I'll start one. Raise your hand if that's how God spoke to you. I'm going to start a prayer life. Praise the Lord. How many of y'all say, Dave, I had one at one time, and I guess the way I look at it is I just need to pick it up and renew my prayer life. I need to renew my prayer life. God spoke to me about it. Slip your hand up real fast. Let me see it. I need to renew my prayer life. How many of y'all would say, Dave, there's some needs in my life, and it would take a miracle. There's no doubt about it. It would take a miracle. But I'm encouraged tonight to pray big. There's a need in my life, and I'm going to start praying big about it. Brother Dave, that's how God spoke to me. Let me know that, but slipping your hand up, would you? I'm going to pray big. Wow, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for all of you. Now, who in this service would say, Dave, I'm the one you were talking to at the end because I'm not yet saved, and I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to know. Will you pray for me about it? I just need to know I'm going to heaven, and I need to get that settled. Pray for me about it. I don't know Jesus as my God and Savior. Just remember me in prayer about it. Slip that hand up right now. Let me pray for you. Just put it up right now. Raise the hand right now. Let me see it. I want to pray for you because you need to be saved tonight, and I sure wish you'd get saved tonight. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, I pray. Help us, oh God, just to make spiritual choices tonight that will change our lives. Help us to be full of prayer. These who need to be saved, oh dear Jesus, draw them to yourself. Honor your word. You said you would. Holy Spirit, convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. We ask you to do it. We trust you to do it. You said you would. Help people to be saved tonight. Just have your way. Now, church family, let's stand to our feet, shall we? Bethany's going to hit the first note when she does. If you've made a commitment about prayer, would you just seal it tonight by kneeling? You don't have to kneel, but tonight might be a good night to kneel. Say, Lord, help me to start a prayer life. God, help me to renew my prayer life. God, you know this need in my life, and I need help about it. Help me, God. Help me. I need help. Help me, God. Now listen, church family, listen to me. Church family, listen. Pray for those who need to be saved. Just say a word of prayer for those who need Christ in their life. Just take a moment. Be very specific, church family. How about you that need Christ in your life? Would you be willing to get saved on a Monday night revival service? You'd receive Jesus as your Savior. just do this. If you're willing to receive Jesus as your Savior, just look at me and kind of wave your hand at me. Let me see it. Tonight, I'm willing. Would you tonight? Would you tonight, son? Could I get somebody to pray with you? Would you do that tonight? Pastor, could we get somebody? Amen. Let's help. Let's get it settled, son. Praise the Lord. Come on, buddy. He'll meet you right there at the back and help you to know you're going to heaven. Amen. 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 Somebody else want to get saved? That young man's meeting a counselor right now. Somebody's going to lead him to Jesus. Anybody else want to know you're going to heaven? Come on tonight. It's Monday night. Anybody here want to know you're going to heaven? Come on. Just wave at me. Just look up and wave at me, and I'll know you want somebody to come pray with you. Anybody that way at all? Just look up and wave at me. Anybody at all? I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus. I want help with that. Anybody at all? All right, church family, say a word of prayer for this young man. He is here yesterday morning, and I spoke with him, and he told me he wasn't saved, but he wasn't ready. And I spoke to him last night, and he said he wasn't saved, said he wasn't ready, but tonight he's meeting a counselor. So say a word of prayer for him, and let's pray God will really help him. Isn't that glorious? Just rejoice in it. Amen, amen, amen. Isn't God good? Don't we have a great God? Rejoice in that for just a moment. You have a great God. Rejoice in that. I praise the Lord for every one of you that renewed your prayer life, that's decided to start a prayer life, and you're going to pray big. God is a good God, isn't he, church family? We have a great God. Pray up a storm. Let's let our lives be full of prayer. Let's just do it. Sing with me, would you? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. All right, Pastor, it's amen. All yours.
Amen. Thank you for that.